This is Jill D, and welcome to my podcast, Never Dull Moment, Single Mom Stories. The stories you're about to hear come from my own experiences being a single mom. None of my stories are intended to tell anyone how to parent or how to raise their children. They are solely for the purposes of sharing them with you. I know everyone has their own stories to tell. These are mine. The title of tonight's episode is Ghetto Twins. And I hope that word doesn't offend anybody, because actually, the connotation for ghetto twins is quite simple. Now, it might sound kind of bad, ghetto, but that's not exactly what it means. If you're not familiar with that term, it's basically a term that means there is a man, husband, boyfriend, whatever he is, and he has two children by two different women, whether they are girlfriends or wife and girlfriend. In my case, it was wife, me, and girlfriend. And these two children are the same age. So that's where the term kind of derived from, ghetto twins. Think about it. In my case, it was my second husband. During that time, me, his wife, and his girlfriend were pregnant at the same time. So we have children that are the same age. I have a son and he has a daughter. Now, I don't know if you remember in previous episodes where I had discussed that he had a whole nother family. Okay, this is part of it. And also, when I was naming our son, he was adamant that I did not use his middle name. Well, as we're rolling around to this episode, you can kind of gather why. He had already named his daughter with his middle name. My baby didn't come until after. And I was thinking about using his middle name because it's a universal name. It could be a male or female name. I told him that that's what I wanted to name the child, and he flipped his lid. I didn't think about it at the time, but eventually what you do in the dark definitely comes out in the light. He has a daughter, like I said. I had our son, and they're the same age. Can you imagine if they also had the same name? Now, I moved back to New Jersey after I decided that I would not stay in a marriage, that I would seek divorce, and I couldn't make money in North Carolina. I didn't know the landscape. I didn't understand. I didn't know how to travel through North Carolina. I hadn't been there very, very long. I came back to New Jersey because I understand New Jersey. I know how to make money here. I have contacts here. So I brought my children back to New Jersey. And remember, I'm coming back to New Jersey with three kids instead of the two that I left with. So I now have to care for three kids all on my own. When our son was about seven, he wanted him to come down and spend the summer with him and his other children. Okay, I am not going to be one to keep my children away from their father. Regardless of how I feel about him, that is still their father. I am not going to speak badly about their father. Regardless of how I feel about him, that is still their father. Even after season one, episode six, where I told you about those kidnap stories, even after that, I wouldn't keep them away from their father. My ex-husband, number one, would definitely have to have supervised visits. But if the kids needed to see him or wanted to see him, I wouldn't keep him away. I believe that they'll see for themselves. I'll leave it up to them. As they get older and more mature, we'll start to understand and start to deal with those type of behaviors on their own, according to their personality, not according to what mama told them about their father. I'm not that. So, okay, he's 7, and I'm going to take him down to North Carolina to spend the summer with his father. Now, my younger son was very attached to me, so I didn't want to just drop him off and leave. I decided I would stay in town a couple of days just in case, you know, just to make it a smooth transition. Okay, smooth. We get down there and I take him to his dad's house and he's hanging out with the kids and he's starting to get used to them and he's starting to know who's who and having a good time. I stayed at a hotel that wasn't that far from where my ex-husband lived. I believe he had already gotten remarried by this time to his girlfriend, who had now become his wife. So when I brought my son there, he had to get used to everybody. He had to figure out who everybody was. These are his siblings. This is his family. I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable, so I didn't stay very long. But I was close enough by that if there was an issue or whatever, could come by and smooth things over. I stayed at this hotel. And every time I came to North Carolina, I stayed at the same hotel. This hotel was run by my former neighbor when I lived in North Carolina. His house was behind my house on the next block. But because we didn't have fences, you could walk right through my yard into his. I actually remember when I first came to North Carolina, the neighbor that lived next to him, she came over and presented herself. Young teenage girl. I think she liked hanging around when my husband was there. Because when he wasn't there, she never came over. Okay, that's a whole nother Oprah show. Her father was a state trooper in North Carolina. They have state troopers. And she came over one day and she started to talk to me about the neighbor that lived behind me and next to her. She told me he was a racist. It was a little older Caucasian man. And I was new. I didn't, you know, go around and greet people. And they hadn't come over and, you know, introduced themselves either. I kind of took her up on it. Big mistake. My huge mistake. Never judge a book by its cover. Never, ever judge a book. She told me all of this stuff about him and don't let the kids run into his yard because he's racist. And I'm terrified. I'm from the North. I don't know, but this is my first time ever living down south. But I tell you this, when I was pregnant with my last son, I was very, very pregnant. I gained a lot of weight. He was a big baby. I was reared back. I had to walk, lean back to hold this baby up. And one day I was sitting in my bedroom, which looked out to the back of the house, and I saw him marching over to my back door. And I am like, oh my goodness, what happened? Did the kids run into his yard? Is he about to curse me out? Is he about to fuss me out? You know, this guy is a racist, because that's what I was told. He gets to the door. Before he could knock, I opened the door and greeted him. Hello? Yes, can I help you? And he looks up at me and he goes, hey, I was about to bring out my mower and cut my grass. I see your grass is kind of high and you're in no condition to cut the grass. So I wanted to come over and ask you if it was okay if I could come and cut your grass too. If I could have shrunk myself to the size of an ant and blown away into the wind, I would have. I felt terrible. All of these misconceived notions I had about this man were not true at all. We became friends that day. And I'm saying all of this to say that he was the host at the hotel. So that's why I stayed at that hotel every time. Because when I moved back to New Jersey and took the baby, he was very upset. That's our baby. That's our North Carolina baby, he said. So I would come and stay at his hotel and bring him school pictures and the child when he was 7, you know, to so he could meet him again and see him again. All of this. Okay, let's get back to the story. These ghetto twins, okay? I'm staying at the hotel and I'm there a couple of days and I'm checking in and out on my son. You know, I'm going back to the house and I don't have any qualms with my ex-husband's wife. I was not married to her. I made no vows to her. Whatever he told her, he was telling her one thing and he was telling me another. I was not going to raise up at this woman. She didn't know me and I didn't know her. So when I came to the house, I could see that I was making her a little antsy. I think because she didn't know me or whatever he told her about me. So trying to smooth that over a little bit and making a smooth transition for my son to come there. I said I would take the kids back to the hotel and they could hang out at the pool with me. I love these kids. This one particular daughter, she used to come and cling to me anytime I came to town. She would grab her little purse. I would put a dollar or two in it, and she and I would go out and have lunch, go walk around the mall, hang out for a couple of hours, and then I'd take her back home every time I came to town. Even to this day, if she comes to town, she comes and visits with me. She also has another sister who was too young at the time, but now that she's grown up too, we go out and have lunch, me and the girls. I love these girls. They could ask me anything, and if I could do it, I will. This particular day, I took her, and I believe I had my older son. No, I didn't have my older son at this time. My older son was hanging out with one of his friends for the summer. I had my younger son. I had his quote unquote twin, and we were hanging out at the pool and they were playing and running and, you know, having a great time. And this lady comes over to me and she sits down and I was like, hi, how are you? She says, hello. And we're sitting, you know, by the pool and she's doing her thing. I'm doing mine. And then after a while, you know, she sees me interacting with the kids. She knows that they're with me. And after a while, she leans over to me and she goes, your children are so beautiful. Are they twins? There were so many things that ran through my head at that moment that I could say, but I didn't. I looked at her and I smiled through my sunglasses and I said, yes. And she said, they're so well behaved. And I said, thank you. And she was like, they're such nice children. And she wanted to talk to me about my twins. I got such a kick out of that. And when I looked back at the pool and I looked at the two of them, they do look so much alike. They're the same age. And are they twins? Oh, yeah, they're twins. They're ghetto twins. My ghetto twins. Now, remember that young lady, the teen I told you that used to hang around my house when we first moved in? She offered to babysit. Nope, don't know you. And she kind of just hung around, gave me a kind of weird vibe. Because she never really liked to come around unless my husband was home. That was just my vibe. But like I told you, she was living with her dad. I think it was just her and her dad. And he was a state trooper. So after she told me the whole story about my back neighbor being this terrible, terrible racist and keep the children away from him and on and on and on. And my huge mistake, actually believing her without going to meet the neighbor. There was one night that I can recall. And it was almost like a sign, a message to maybe that household. I don't know. that family, I don't necessarily know, but I saw it as a message. So here's what happened. It's very, very hot in North Carolina. So our homes had cooling systems. They were like a huge device that was outside of your house, and it would cool the whole home. We lived on a new division block, so our homes were newer than the houses behind us. That street was there for much longer. They kind of dug out our street and built new houses. Looking out my back window, I could see that her house, her dad was getting their cooling system replaced. Utility workers were out there pretty much the entire day, taking away the old one, dismantling it, and installing the new one. And it literally took them the entire day. Every time I went past the window, I could see them out there working, working, working. So as it started to get later in the night, I guess they finished up. It was about dusk, you know, when it's not quite light outside, but it's not totally dark. And I saw them wrapping up their tools and stuff and going away. And right just then, it started to rain a little bit. As they pulled off, it started to rain. And then it started to really rain. And then you could see lightning strikes. So in North Carolina, it's a little flat. It's not like up north where there's a lot of buildings and trees and houses in the way where you really can't see clearly. Where we lived in North Carolina, it was very, very flat. So you could see the lightning come from the sky down to the ground. That freaked me out the first time I ever saw that. But you could literally see it. I started to see lightning strikes come from the sky to the ground. From the sky to the ground. Okay, it's going to be a rainstorm, thunderstorm. And as we were sitting there, my living room was towards the back of my house. And the window and the door had a full glass pane. So you could literally see everything in the back of the house. The kids went off to play in their room. It was my daughter and my son. I was still very pregnant at the time. You could hear them in the back playing, the TV going. And then I went into the kitchen. I think I went to fix dinner, get things prepared for dinner. And all of a sudden, I see this huge flash and then a loud boom. And it like shook me to my core. And when I looked out the window, you can see that the lightning came down from the sky and hit that cooling system that they literally an hour ago finished installing. I went to go check on the kids. I went to walk to the hallway. And by the time I got to the hallway, my older son was in the air. He jumped out of his skin. I literally had to catch him in air. When things kind of settled and calmed down, I looked out the window and you could see smoke coming out of their cooling system. All of a sudden, fire trucks and police come to deal with this. The house didn't catch on fire or anything like that, but the smoke was coming out. They had to figure out how to shut it down. And then in a week or so, dismantle it and get a new one installed. So I looked at it as a sign of that little ugly statement, those little ugly comments. That's just me, though. That's how I think. I know you guys don't think like that, but that's how I was thinking. Because of those comments that she told me about my neighbor, and because I didn't necessarily take the time out to actually go and speak to him and find out what type of person he was, he came to me and showed me what type of person he was. And we remained friends for a long time. Every time I visited North Carolina, I stopped by to see him. I always stayed at the same hotel. He knew me. I knew him. But we had another neighbor who lived in the front of us. He wasn't directly in front of my house, but he was across the street. And he literally made it known how he felt. He had one of those huge flags, literally covered his entire porch. And when the kids would come out to play, He would sit out there on the top step with two Dobermans, one on each side of him. The dog sat very, very still. They looked almost statuesque. And he would just sit there. He wasn't reading the paper. He wasn't drinking coffee. He wasn't doing anything. He would just sit there on his top step anytime the kids came out to play. So that right there, no one had to tell me how he felt. And for the safety of the children, I never let them go and play down that part of the street. They had to go up the street. And that's where most of the kids were anyway. But I didn't trust him. It was like he was waiting for a moment when a ball would come up on his property or when one of the kids would run on his property to go sick and send them dogs out. To be honest, I didn't take the time to get to know this neighbor either. I never went over to his house. I never knocked on his door. I never introduced myself. That flag, first of all, to me was a deterrent. Who knows? He could have been the nicest person ever. I kind of fault myself for judging him a little bit. Pay attention to your surroundings is all I'm saying. And don't let anybody tell you anything. Never judge a book. Never judge a book. That is not your place. Get to know a person. Don't assume. You know what they say about assumption, right? You decide. You determine. Follow your gut. Let it be your decision. Don't let somebody speak into your ear. Don't make that mistake. Not like I did. Well, I enjoyed sharing with you tonight. I really, really did. As always, I am grateful to receive any comments, good, bad, or indifferent. The comments that I received, I am so appreciative of you people. I love you guys for your support. I love you guys for your comments. I love you guys for your involvement. Keep the comments coming. Some people that know me so well will even send me a text message. They don't even comment on the page. I get text messages. But I want to say I appreciate you all. Thank you so much. And until next time, never a dull moment.